Good morning. Hello. There we are. We have liftoff. Excellent. If you're still looking for a seat, come on in. Sit wherever you like. Great to have you here at Newbury Baptist Church this morning. We're all in together for the whole of the service this morning. If you have tiny ones and feel you need to take them out to the creche, there will be toys provided there for them, but you'd need to stay with them. Please do continue to remember Carl in your prayers. Another week of turmoil coming up in his house this week, so please do remember to pray for him. There won't be a Monday lunchtime prayer meeting tomorrow, or indeed the following week. I will put that in the e-bulletin, but just so that you remember. Don't forget we have a Maundy Thursday service here at 7:30 on Thursday evening, and we'll join together with friends from Thatcham Baptist Church on that occasion. So it'd be lovely if you're able to come for that quiet, reflective service together on Maundy Thursday. Thank you very much for praying for the Radio 4 recording. We read the weather right, and in fact it was a beautiful morning on Thursday, not quite so beautiful at 20 past five when it was still dark, but the sun came up during the recording, and that was just what we were looking for. So that will be on air on Sunday at 6:35 a.m. if you happen to be awake. Well, it'll be on whether you're awake or not, but thank you for praying. Now, you should all have a label. My name is Richard, apparently. Turn round and say hello to someone whose name you wouldn't have known without them having a label on. See if you can spot someone. If you thought, oh, so that's why he's called. Brilliant, thank you. And see if you can keep them on afterwards at coffee time, because that's when we tend to mingle a lot more. So it is helpful, because it means you're not thinking, oh, I'm too embarrassed to say hello to this person because I can't think what their name is. No excuse today, because you've got the name there in front of you. This is some very old words that we're looking forward to what we celebrate today on Palm Sunday. This comes from a book in the Old Testament called Zechariah. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So many centuries before it happened, the prophet could see it clearly. The day would come when Jesus would come riding into the city on the back of a donkey. Let's pray together. Father, for this Palm Sunday, for the 101 different ways that you come into our lives and interrupt them, we thank you. For the knowledge in our hearts this morning that we are forgiven. For the inextinguishable light of hope. And for your wonderful presence with us, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, like I say, we're all staying in together today, so there'll be lots of different things going on during the service. But has anybody noticed what looks different this morning, apart from the flowers? Yeah, go on.
So chairs are seated.
Now, why are they like that? And can somebody tell me why they're like that? Carl?
Wedding.
We had a wedding. Yes, we had a lovely wedding here on Friday morning. We had a big double-decker bus in the church car park. We had lovely, lovely time together. But actually, we thought we'd leave it this way, because one of the things we remember on Palm Sunday is Jesus walking right into the middle of everything in Jerusalem. Some people were expecting him, some people weren't, but there he was, walking right into the middle of it, and they all reacted in different ways. So I thought, well, let's leave it that way. Help us to remember. Now, we're going to sing a lovely song in a moment. Let's put the words up, Roger. I'm going to have to start singing just yet. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was lots of noise and cheering, and people loved it. So if you want to join in with that, you've got to follow me down here. Come on, if you want to play these, you don't have to be a child to do it. You may join in if you're older. Okay, we're going to go right to the back, because then we can walk right the way up the front whilst we're singing. Let's get all the way back to this back wall, look. Choose an instrument. Don't move yet.
If you're not following
Rich. Okay. And then if you follow me up, and then when we get to the front, you can sit down, all right? Your band is ready, Ruth.
Okay. If you're not following Richard, if the rest of you could stand so that you can join us singing Make Way, thank you.
Okay. Just wait till they start singing, and then as loud as you can. Brilliant. If you could put those down on the front row and then go back to where you were before, thank you very much. We're going to sing along the same theme, a lovely, beautiful, beautiful old hymn this morning. My song is Love Unknown. Thank you, David. Do please sit down. There's a little bit of me that wanted you to get you to make up a verse at that point, but you might have been pushing it a little bit. Can I just remind people, by the way, those of you signed up to the Bible Time course, the final session is this evening in this current series. So those of you who are on that course, I'll see you down here at 6 this evening. I'm about to show you a very short film. Because it's very short, you have to really concentrate. Those of you who've seen it before will have a giggle. Those of you who've not seen it before will get a bit of a shock. Let's watch it, please, Roger. Thank you. I did warn you you'd get a surprise if you hadn't seen it before. Now, I've got two helpers at this point. So Steve and Paul are going to come out and help me. Let me get my time again. See, that was a bit of a nasty surprise. I want to see if we can collect on this side whatever might be bad surprises, on this side whatever might be good surprises. So you can either come up and tell him, or you can race up and down and see what you can get. Okay, well, I'd just like to keep you fit. So I'm going to get you out. You've got the egg timer's worth. So we're going to get a list of good surprises this side and bad surprises that side. Away you go. You're being outdone over this side. Come on, we need some more bad surprises from this side. Or
what's a bad surprise? Anyone's any thoughts? No? Any more thoughts? Bad surprises?
Tax bill.
Tax bill, yes.
We've already got unpaid bills.
My favourite thing.
Any more thoughts?
Yeah, there's one. Steve's nearly filled his bit of paper up and he's only three rows down. Come on, help Paul out on this side. What are some of the bad surprises? See, if you get to the back of my egg timer hasn't finished, I'm just going to stop it, so. I can't wait to see what's on these lists. In fact, I'm going to have a little sneak and look. Oh, he won't let me see. Oh, okay. Help these two out, won't you? Help them out. I should have chosen a shorter egg timer, look. A little shake. Oh, go on, we've done enough of that now. Right, back you come, back you come. Let's see what you've got on your lists. Brilliant, let's have a look and see. So I'll have a look and see what I've got on both lists. So this is the good list. Paul, let's have your. Oh, what have we got as good ones? We've got Newcastle staying up. Okay. Birthday cake. Bumping into someone. Ice cream. What's this one?
Pay rise.
Pay rise. This one looks like jelly bunny, but I don't think it is jelly bunny.
Oh, yeah, no, getting a new bunny.
Getting a new... Oh, there we are. What about some bad ones? What have we got here?
Empty biscuit tin.
Empty biscuit tin. Oh, that's just sad. That's not... Yeah, okay. Puncture. A recipe gone wrong. You see, that wouldn't be a surprise for me. That would just be life. Spiders at the bath. Speeding ticket. What's this one? Locked out of the house. Who's ever had that? Oh, okay, yeah, and what's this one?
Your hair falls out overnight.
Your hair falls out overnight. No, it never happened to me. Right, okay, thank you very much. Well done, guys. Give them a clap. Great, great little lists there. Here's some people who had a surprise. You won't know them, but their names are John and Frances Canning. They got married on March 2012, and they picked a venue in the middle of Manchester. And when they booked it, they were told, yes, you can have the venue, but there's also a VIP event on the same day. You just need to be aware of that. Then they found out that the VIP event was actually the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh coming to hold another engagement. So they thought, you know what, we're going to invite them to our wedding. So they wrote and invited them, and not surprisingly, got the answer back that they weren't coming. And then they were just waiting between the wedding and the reception when a lady in waiting came through and said, oh, by the way, they've decided they are going to come now. They'll be here in 10 minutes. Which I'm guessing was a nice surprise and definitely not one they could prepare for because they weren't expecting it. But can you imagine their wedding photo album? Brilliant. Nice surprise for them. You know, Jesus coming, like he did with all that noise on that Palm Sunday, was not a surprise. God had been talking about it since forever. Right the way back in Genesis, when it all went wrong in the Garden of Eden, he said, oh, I'll put it right. But maybe no one was listening. Prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, said, you know, he'll come in this humble way. Zephaniah, I read his words out at the start of the service. He said, he'll come and he'll come in on a donkey. Micah, a prophet, talked about him coming in a very peaceful way. John the Baptist, when he started talking about Jesus, said, you know, when this Messiah person comes, he'll be greater than anyone you've ever met, and he'll be more humble than you ever expected. So actually, it wasn't that big a surprise. It had been talked and talked and talked and talked about, maybe just nobody noticed. And even when Jesus started doing his thing and exercising his ministry, he showed he was going to be different. He visited the poorest people, and he touched the sickest people. And he chose the most ordinary people. And he welcomed the children when other people said, you haven't got time for them. He avoided the limelight. He refused to let anyone crown him as king. So he showed what kind of a king he was, really. So when he came, not walking as we were here, when he came riding into Jerusalem on that day at Passover time, which is when everybody celebrated that God did good things, shouldn't really have been a big surprise, you know. The religious people who'd been reading their Bibles should have known it was coming because he'd said it in there. The disciples shouldn't have been surprised because all along he'd be telling them, I'm this kind of king and not that kind of king. The crowd should not have been surprised because lots of them had seen him work miracles and heard him tell stories and they had been told what to expect. And yet, actually it was a big surprise. And for some it was on the bad list and some it was on the good list. But for almost everybody there, it was a surprise. Palm Sunday is a reminder to us to do the right thing when God shows up. It's a reminder to us to do our homework. So we pray and we listen to him and we read our Bibles and we make ourselves as ready as we can possibly be so that when he turns up and does the unexpected thing, maybe we react in the right way rather than the wrong one. But we'll come back to that in a minute or two. Let's sing again together, shall we, Ruth? Thank you.
Right, we're going to sing together, so if you'd like to join in by standing or sitting if you prefer. Oh,
to please sit down. Hosanna in the highest. It's what people were shouting as Jesus came in. Hosanna meant God to the rescue. He's finally doing something. And so they were so pleased to see him. Well, I'm going to ask Flo and Micah and Sarah and Keith to come and read that story to us now. If I take this out, you can pass that around if you need to.
Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying the colt, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead and went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied,
the Lord needs it.
They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spreaded their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus,
Teacher, rebuke your disciples.
I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Thank you very much. Like I said, it was a surprise to just about everybody. They should have known it, but somehow they didn't see it coming. And when it happened, they all reacted in such different ways. And you get the disciples who don't really understand this weird scheme of Jesus saying, look, go and pick up a donkey, and when the person asks you about it, they'll be fine with it. The owner of the donkey probably had no clue, really, but somehow the words, the Lord needs it, were enough. And he said, okay, well, you take it then. The crowds got caught up in the moment, in all excitement, and they welcomed Jesus just the way he deserved to be welcomed. And, you know, when it says that they took their coats off and they threw them down, that was probably the only outer garment they owned. You think about that. The only coat that you have. And you get so caught up in the moment, you throw it down on the road. And whether they went back and got them again later, I don't really know. And it says they threw these palm branches down. And I always used to have visions of Jerusalem looking like it had been stripped bare by locusts afterwards. Well, they weren't yanking them off the trees. These were brought into the city for the celebrations. They were brought in for the celebrations that were going on at the time. It'd be a bit like where you get Christmas tree stands at the side of the road. So these were brought in for a special festival, but somehow the people got so caught up in it, they said, oh, let's take those and wave them. And they all got caught up in this wonderful moment that was happening, and they cheered at the top of their voices. And then there was the Pharisees. So his disciples didn't really understand. The owner of the donkey hadn't got a clue. The crowd were kind of joining in but weren't sure what it was all about. And the Pharisees, of course, knew just what it was about. They weren't happy. Not one little bit. They hated what was going on. They hated that it took attention away from them. They hated that it was getting out of control, and they wanted it stopped right now, like that, see? So what was the best reaction, do you think? Who reacted the best way? Was it the disciples? Or the person with the... Yeah, go on, Micah. It was the disciple. Why do you think theirs was the best one? Yeah, they were surprised in a good way. I think that's so true. I think you've really hit the nail on the head. But here's the thing. I think God loves it when we react on the spot in the best way, like the disciples did. I think he really loves that. I think he probably cares a bit more about what happens after the special moment. You know, we can all get caught up in an exciting thing. I think he probably cares a little bit more what happens afterwards. Whether we kind of keep it going or not. You know, after that day was over, well, the Pharisees went on being the same way they'd always been. And the crowds, actually a few days later, they were shouting for Jesus to be killed, so I don't think they were that concerned about him really. But the disciples, like Micah said, they had actually kept on going. They kept on going and they kept on telling people about Jesus in all sorts of different ways, right to the very end of their lives. When God does a good thing and it surprises us, we should react in the best way, but then we have to pass it on. Let me just nip a chair from here. Because I don't know whether this has ever been done in Newbury Baptist Church before. I will be the person responsible for the calamity or triumph that it might be. Have we ever done a Mexican wave in church before? Okay, well, Mexican wave works a bit like this. So if I'm sitting in the row in front of you, I stand up and do this, and just as I'm sitting down, when I get to there, you do the same thing. Do you get that? Now, so I go up, and I come down, and just as I'm coming down, you go up, and so it should ripple right the way down the church and back again. Are we good to try it?
Yep.
On a count of three? Oh, am I going to regret this? One, two, three! Yeah, let's bring it down from the back then, back to the front again. Oh, it's working better this time. Go on, back to the front. It's died somewhere. Oh, yes, it's coming. Oh, look at that. Look at their little happy faces. Brilliant. Yeah, give yourselves a clap. Listen, when God does a good thing in your life, it's meant to be like a Mexican wave that then gets passed on to the next person, the next person, the next person. It's not just a happy moment for you. When he starts his good thing in your life, then it becomes my good thing because I get to hear about it. And then it becomes her big good thing because I tell her about it. And so it goes on. So God does a great thing and he takes you by surprise. But it's meant to be the start of a chain reaction. Because you then pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. And that way, the world gets changed. God does a good thing, like Jesus did on Palm Sunday. And we're then meant to catch it and pass it on. So that it becomes other people's good thing as well. We're going to watch a little video clip in a moment. And it's a bit of a quiz, because we're going to ask you some questions afterwards. Could we turn the lights out first, please, so that we can really see it clearly? Do you want to catch those ones as well? This lasts about 4.5 minutes, so you're really going to need to watch carefully because I'm going to ask you some questions. It's a song by a group called Noah and the Whale. Let's watch it together.
Surrounds you like an ether in every what you do. But if you give a little love, you can get a little love of your own. Don't break his heart. Yeah, if you give a little love, you can get a little love of your own. Don't break his heart. Yeah, if you give a little love, you can get a little love of your own. Don't break his heart. Well, if you are
what you love,
and you do
what you love,
I will always be the sun and moon to you. And if you share
with your heart,
yeah, you give
with your heart,
what you share with the world is what it keeps of you.
Now, let's see how carefully you were watching it. Who's the first person who gets helped in the film? Oh, Micah's first hand up. Go on, then. You can't remember. Can somebody else remember? Who's the first person? Lots of people get, yeah.
It was the little boy that got pushed over.
He got pushed over. Yeah, that's right. Well done. And now, why does the woman miss the bus? Why does the woman miss the bus? Yeah. Yeah, because she helps someone pick up their papers. That's right. What gets rescued on the beach? Come on, somebody must have been watching. Yeah.
Rubber ring.
A rubber ring. What colour was it?
Yellow.
Yeah, oh, very good. Okay. What gets left behind in a bumper car? Float.
Tickets.
No, there weren't tickets. Yeah.
Digits.
Yeah, strip of photos. You're incredibly good at this. There are just two more questions. Who helps painting the wall that isn't a human being? Yeah.
A dog.
A dog. Now, I'll be really, really impressed if anybody gets this one. How many boxes nearly fall over and hit someone? Oh, God. If somebody gets that, I'm going to be astonished. Go on, then. What do you think?
Six.
Six. I wish I'd bought a prize to give you. But I love that film because it's exactly that Mexican wave I was talking about. You know, someone sees something good and they pass it on, they pass it on, they pass it on. Listen, when Jesus came, the yes to every single promise that God had ever made. When Jesus came in peace as the greatest king the world had ever seen. When he showed God's love in a way that no one had understood it before. He didn't want people just to cheer about it. He wanted them to imitate it and to pass it on and pass it on and pass it on again. On this day, when we celebrate that he comes into our lives and takes us by surprise, it'd be a great thing if we could resolve that we'll go out and do the same for someone else. That we'll go out and pass on what he's given us. And so actually what he's invested us become, in us becomes an investment in other people. I wonder how you might be able to do that this week. If it's a good surprise for you that Jesus came into your life, how could you pass it on to someone this week so that it's then a good surprise for them too? I wonder. We're going to sing again together now. Thank you, Ruth. In a moment or two, we're going to share communion together. Before we do that, I'm going to ask any of the deacons who are here to come out and join me. Come and stand down here for a minute. So we've got Bethan and Tom and Kelvin and Joe and Pat. And you need to imagine at this point, Nick and Mike as well. They couldn't come on this occasion. These people serve you in all sorts of different ways, but I thought it would be nice to pray for them today and to thank God for them. Can I ask you to make a little bunch in the middle here? Can I borrow enough children to make a circle of hands around them, please? Anyone prepared to come out and join me who's not too terrified to hold my hand? Let's see if we can get enough people to make a circle around these deacons, shall we? Brilliant. And another one. Oh, look, we're getting there. Have we got enough to make it all the way around? That's fabulous. There's two more coming from the back. And I hope you five in the middle will feel surrounded by prayer as we do this. We pray for these folks, not because they're more special than anyone else, but because they've got a particular job to do. And we'd like God to help them. So we'll keep holding hands while I pray, yeah? All right? Let's pray together now. Father, we thank you for all our deacons. We thank you for the skills they have and the time they give. We thank you for the wisdom and experience of Jesus that they have. And we pray for them as they help to lead the church. Jesus, please, will you help them? Lead them when they need leading. Comfort them when they're sad. Give them strength when they feel weak. And help them to do this thing for you, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you very much for your help. Could we get the table moved across now, please? If someone could help with that. Oh, that's fine. We don't very often have everybody here for communion, and it's lovely to have you. If you love Jesus, we'd love you to take part. Children, when the bread comes round, there's some grapes for you as well. So we'll bring those round when the time comes. But let's remember for a minute where this all started. Let's remember that during his last night on the earth, Jesus sat in a room with his friends. And whilst they were sharing a meal, he took some bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," he said, "to remember me." And a bit later on in the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant," or the new promise, "sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." And the "all" meant us too. It wasn't just the people around the table. It was all the ones who would learn down the years who Jesus was. People like us, actually. Let's pray, shall we? Father, for that moment when Jesus sat with his friends, for those words that he spoke, for the truth that he would be broken and poured out to make us whole, we thank you in his name. Amen. We're going to take the bread or the grapes and eat them as we receive them. Thank you. Grown-ups, when you get the cup, could you hold on to it, please? And then we can all drink together. Thank you. Drink this knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free, and be thankful. It's been lovely to have you all here today. It's been lovely to have everybody in together and to celebrate a special day together. Thank you all for being here. We're going to close our service. We sing a lovely hymn together at the name of Jesus. And as we do that, we're going to take up an offering. So let's stand and sing together now. Thank you, David. Now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.